Good morning, and I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. That's where we'll be starting this morning, although we'll be looking at a number of other passages as well. Our message series is called Christ, Our Purpose, and we're taking some time this fall to look at our church purpose statement and see what God's Word has to tell us about our purpose as a church. So we're just using the purpose statement as a framework, but we're really looking into the Bible and saying, what does God say the purpose of a church is? What is a local church supposed to be doing? And in your worship guide this morning, there is an outline of the message this morning, but on the back of that, you'll find our church purpose statement. So you might want to take that out right now. Let me just read that to you as we get started. The purpose of Plantation Community Church is to make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ by calling people to Christ, helping them grow in Christ, receiving them into fellowship and service, involving them in personal and group worship, sharing God's love in Broward County and beyond, teaching and equipping people for ministry. That's our purpose. That's why we exist as a church. And now you'll notice if you look at the first letter of each of those, it spells out the word Christ. And so in short, our purpose is Jesus. That's the reason we're here. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so a really neat little tool that we use as a church to keep things on track. Well, last week we looked at the first of our purposes as revealed in Scripture, calling people to Christ. Today we move on to our second purpose, which is helping people grow in Christ. In other words, it's not enough simply to call people to Christ. After they come to Christ, we need to help them grow. We need to help them grow in Christ as well. So we're going to start here in 2 Peter 3:18, and if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, as we look into your word this morning, the verses that speak to this such an important purpose of our church, helping each other grow in our faith and in you, Lord. God, there's probably some areas in our life where we need to grow, and so we want to be listening to your word, listening to your Holy Spirit as you speak personally to us. And so, God, speak to us, we pray. Help us to listen, to hear, and to change and obey as you direct. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we're going to talk about growing in Christ this morning. Our purpose as a church is to make disciples of Jesus, and part of discipleship is helping people grow in Christ. Jesus said, Matthew 28, we actually looked at this verse last week as well, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So discipleship is more than just coming to Christ for salvation. It is also growing in commitment and obedience to Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? How do we grow as Christians? Once again, there's an outline in your worship guide. I'd encourage you to take that out. We're going to be looking at these points and a number of these scriptures to help us understand the second purpose we have as a church, helping people grow in Christ. And first of all, growing in Christ means spiritual growth and maturity. Spiritual growth and maturity. You know, last week we talked about sharing the gospel and the importance of people putting their trust and their faith in Jesus for salvation. But here's the thing, God doesn't want you just to put your faith in Christ. That's where it starts, right? But he also wants you to grow in your faith. You put your faith in Christ for salvation, now you grow in your faith as a Christian. Christianity is not meant to be a one-time decision that you make and then you leave it behind. No, it is a living, personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. When you come to Christ, you are a new creation in Christ. The Bible says you're born again. Spiritually, you are a newborn baby. And like all babies, you need to grow. You know, there are several aspects to spiritual growth and maturity. One important aspect is the one we just read about in 2 Peter, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we are saved by God's grace, and then we also need to grow in that grace. People sometimes ask, well, what does that mean to grow in grace? Well, it means a couple of things. Growing in grace, first of all, means growing in your understanding, growing in your understanding that you are accepted by God, not on the basis of your performance as a Christian, but on the basis of Christ alone. That's so important. I do want to go through that one more time. Growing in grace means growing in your understanding that you are accepted by God, not on the basis of your performance. Isn't that good news? Right? Our performance is not always that great as a Christian. We try, but we fail a lot too, don't we? You are accepted by God, not on the basis of your performance as a Christian, but on the basis of Christ alone. God accepts you not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus has already done. Now, some people might think that that would cause you to sin more. It's like, oh, wow, well, if it's not based on what I do, I guess I can do whatever I want. But ironically, here's the way it works. The more you grasp the grace of God, the less you will sin. The more you truly grasp God's grace, the less you will sin. So growing in grace also means then learning to live in God's grace. So that it's God's grace that motivates you and sustains you throughout the day. And then Peter says we're also to grow in our knowledge of Christ. Now, certainly part of that knowledge is learning about Christ from the Bible. As we read about the life of Christ in the Gospels, the teachings about Christ in the New Testament letters, the prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament. But we are also to grow in our own personal knowledge of Jesus. It's not just Bible facts. Personal knowledge of Christ as we walk with him daily, as we spend time with him in prayer, as we submit to his lordship and authority in our lives through the choices and decisions we make. You see, there's something wrong with a Christian who never grows. A Christian who never experiences growth. If you had a baby and that baby wasn't growing, I think you'd be concerned, right? You'd bring them to the doctor. You would bring them to every single doctor you could to find out what was wrong. Well, it's the same thing. If you're not growing as a Christian, then something also is terribly wrong. We're going to be looking at how we grow as a Christian later in the message. But if you have never experienced Christian growth, ever, if you've never experienced any growth in your life, a question you need to ask yourself is this. Am I really a Christian? You know, have I really turned away from my sin? Have I really put my faith in Jesus? Because if you've never done that, if you've never really come to Christ, that could explain why you're not growing. You see, you cannot grow as a Christian until you first become a Christian. There must be spiritual life before there can be spiritual growth. And so if you've never grown as a Christian, you might go back and re-examine. Have I really trusted Jesus as my Savior? And you say, and if you think, you know what, I don't think I ever have, you can do that. You can do that right now. You don't even have to wait till the end of the message. You can just go to Jesus right now and say, Jesus, I've never trusted you. Jesus, will you be my Savior? Will you forgive me of my sin? I want to trust you and start growing in my faith. When we talk about spiritual growth, we are also talking about growing in spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Paul wrote to the Colossians, Colossians 1:28. We proclaim him, the him there is Christ. We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Now, that word that's translated perfect there, it's a word that simply means mature. Mature, fully grown, complete, finished. Paul worked real hard to present every believer as mature in Christ. Now, there is one sense in which none of us will be finished growing as Christians until we reach heaven. Okay, until Christ comes back or we die, we will not be fully mature in Christ until then. And yet there is another sense in which we can say that there are mature believers in Christ and immature believers in Christ. Now, the young believer, that makes sense that they would be immature. Young believer in Christ, they're just getting started. They've got so much to learn about God and the Bible and prayer and forgiveness, sin, temptation, all sorts of other things that you'll find in the Bible. Whereas the Christian who's walked with Christ for many years, who has spent time in the Bible with God, has spent time in prayer, who's been tested and tried, in all sorts of ways, they're going to be mature in a way that the new believer is not. And even though we will never be fully mature as Christians in this life, the good news is we can become mature followers of Jesus. We should want to become mature followers of Jesus. Growing in Christ means spiritual growth and maturity. Now, when we're talking about spiritual growth and maturity, once again, we're not just talking about Bible knowledge gained or calendar years marked off since we first trusted Christ, but we are talking about Christian character. Character. True spiritual growth and maturity will always result in the believer becoming more like Jesus in character. In short, growing in Christ means becoming more like Jesus. One of the most important passages in the Bible is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Many of us are already familiar with verse 28, but let me read all three verses for you. Listen closely. Paul writes, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Why does God work all things together for the good of those who love him? Because God is using everything that happens in your life as a Christian, including the difficult times and those trials, he's using all of that to make you more like Jesus. If you are a Christian, then God's ultimate plan for you, okay? Sometimes people say, what's God's plan for my life? You're about to find out, okay? God's ultimate plan for you is that you will be conformed to the likeness of his Son. And God will not let anything interfere with his plan. Indeed, if you are a Christian, God in his sovereignty will take both the good and the bad in your life, your cooperation or even your lack of cooperation. He's going to take all of that together and he's going to use it to make you more like Jesus. God is far more interested in the development of your character. He is far more interested in the development of your character than he is in what you do for work or where you live or how much money you have in the bank. Spiritual growth is all about becoming more like Jesus. You could know the Bible backward and forward. You could be a Christian for 50 years, but if you are not becoming more like Christ in your character, once again, something's wrong. God wants you more like Jesus. There's an old Keith Green song that I often sing. It's a part of my morning prayer walk repertoire. I've got a bunch of songs I sing in the morning just to praise God. But the lyrics go like this. I won't sing it for you, but the words are just beautiful. I want to, I need to be more like Jesus. I want to, I need to be more like him. Now, God develops the character of Christ in you through the Holy Spirit living in you, right? When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, what happens? God's Holy Spirit comes into your life. He washes you clean. You're forgiven of your sins. And now God's Holy Spirit lives within you. He dwells within you, and he begins changing you from the inside out. And the Bible calls this the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And God lists 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in the letter to the Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we did a study on the fruit of the Spirit a number of years back, and one of the things we learned is that Jesus expressed all of these character traits. Jesus expressed them perfectly in his own life. This is a portrait of Jesus. And the ultimate measure of spiritual maturity is not how much you know, but rather how much you exhibit these character traits in your life. Growing in Christ means becoming more like Jesus. So growing in Christ means spiritual growth and maturity. Growing in Christ means becoming more like Jesus. We've seen that God is developing Christ's character in you through the Holy Spirit. So that raises the question, well, what about you and me? What part do we play in all of this? Is there anything we can do to help? And the answer is yes. Yes, God is going to do the work. You can't do it without him, but there are things that you can do to help you along in your growth. 4 things that are absolutely essential to growing in Christ are the Bible, prayer, fellowship, and service. There are others, of course, but these 4 are essential. These were the marks of the early church. We read about the early church in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I mean, what a beautiful description of the church, right? That's what every church should be. That's who we should be. That's who we want to be. And did you notice what they did? If you break it down, they devoted themselves to the Bible, fellowship, prayer, and service. In other words, this was a church that took full advantage of all those things that would help them grow in their faith. Let's take a look at all 4 of those for a minute. First of all, the Bible. The Bible is essential for growth because this is God's word. It is a trustworthy guide for life. The Bible teaches you about God and Christ and gives you wisdom for making right choices. The Bible gives you encouragement when you're down, comfort when you're hurt, promises to help you keep going when you just feel like giving up. The Bible is your offensive weapon in your battle against temptation and sin. The Bible brings you closer to God as you meditate on God's words in Scripture and as you allow God's word to shape and renew your life. Is the Bible essential to Christian growth? Absolutely. Are you growing in Christ? If you answered no. Are you reading your Bible? If you answered no, do you see the connection? Okay? If you're not reading the Bible, you're probably not growing. Essential to Christian growth. Prayer. Prayer is essential to Christian growth. Prayer is your lifeline to heaven. If the Bible is the fuel for Christian living, then prayer is the oxygen that feeds the fire. God speaks to you through his word, and then you speak to God through prayer. Now, prayer often changes things around you. We see God answering prayer all the time. But more importantly, prayer changes you. It helps you to grow in Christ. And so we need to be praying every day. The cumulative effect of praying daily to God over a lifetime is immeasurable. Prayer is essential to Christian growth. Next, we have fellowship. Fellowship, you were not meant to do this Christian life alone. You are not meant to do this alone. We need each other. We need each other's encouragement and prayers in order to grow. God does not just save you as an individual, but he brings you into his family. Jesus is building his church, and he calls you, each one of us, he calls you to be a part of it. True Christianity always takes place in community. It is in the church that we love and serve each other and present a witness to the watching world. You cannot grow as a Christian in isolation. Fellowship is essential to Christian growth. And then finally, service. Service is essential. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, a very important passage. It was he, once again speaking of Jesus, there was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, we're going to return to these verses and in the coming weeks when we talk about service and ministry. But right now, I want you to notice what these verses say about service and maturity. See, we serve each other. Why? So that we may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and become mature. Serving each other is one of the ways we help each other to grow into maturity in Christ. And then Paul goes on to say, same passage, he says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The end result of service in the body of Christ is spiritual growth. And then we're no longer immature infants. We all start there, right? We all start as babies in Christ, but you don't want to stay there. No longer immature infants, blown back and forth by the wind. We become mature, solid adults in Christ, knowing the truth of God's word and then speaking that truth in love. There's the growing more like Jesus, right? As God shapes our character to become more like Christ. So back to our question, is there anything you can do to assist your spiritual growth? Is there anything you can do that will help you grow in Christ? And the answer is absolutely yes. You need to commit yourself to all four of these areas so that you may grow as a Christian. Let's look at them briefly once again. The Bible. Make a commitment here. Read and study God's word. Read God's word every day. Become a lifelong learner of the Bible. Prayer. Develop a pattern of daily prayer. Talk to God throughout the day. Read about prayer. Learn about prayer. But most importantly of all, just pray. Pray. That's how you're going to learn the most, is just praying, talking to God. Fellowship. Commit yourself to a local church and become a member of that church. Attend regularly. Get involved in a home group or Bible study. Get together with Christian friends. Don't neglect your non-Christian friends, okay? But don't neglect the fellowship of believers either. And then service. Look for ways to get involved. Volunteer at church. Don't be a spectator. Use your spiritual gifts and talents to serve others. These are four essential things that you can do. Any of us can do these things. They'll all help you grow in Christ. Let me add that one of the best ways you can grow in your knowledge of the Bible and growing closer to Christ is simply by attending a Sunday class right here at the church. And it's really the easiest thing in the world because it doesn't require any extra trips. You're already here. I can tell you, here's a fact. Everybody who's here this morning, you're already here. Sorry about you guys who are watching live at home, but come and join us sometime. We'd love to have you, okay? But you know, you're already here. It doesn't need another trip. Parents, your kids need to be in Sunday school. You know that. You know how important it is them for to learn about God and the Bible. You know, we need to do this as well. And you know, if you come to the 10:30 service, we have classes at 9 o'clock. What about my kids? We offer care for your kids during that 9 o'clock hour. And as a church, we offer a variety of groups each week. not just on Sunday, but throughout the week as well, that will help you grow in your faith and in your walk with the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, what groups do we offer? I'm so glad you asked. I just happen to have this card with me. We have these out on the table in the foyer at the welcome desk. Pick one up on your way out. It lists all the weekly groups here at Plantation. The first side is all Sunday. So you can see we've got lots of Sunday groups. We try to make it easy for you. You're already here. But you flip it over, we've got groups on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We have groups for kids, groups for students and youth, groups for young adults and adults and senior adults. We're trying to cover it all. And it's all there. Why? Because one of our purposes is to help each other grow in Christ. Maybe God is speaking to you about getting, becoming a part of a group and growing in your faith that way as well. The purpose of Plantation Community Church is to make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ by, one, calling people to Christ, and then, two, helping them grow in Christ. Now, we've got four more purposes to go. We're going to get to those, but right now, let's just focus on those first two, last week and this week. First of all, from last week, are you calling people to Christ by sharing the gospel? We heard that message last week. We've all had 7 days. Have you shared Christ with anybody this past week? Were you looking for those opportunities? And then did you take that opportunity? If you didn't, that's okay. Area to grow. This is our purpose. This is why we're here, folks. Look for an opportunity to share Christ this week. Number two, are you growing in Christ and encouraging others to grow by participating in Bible study, prayer, fellowship, and service? See, these are two of God's purposes for the church. These are two of the main reasons why the church exists. This is why we're here. If we're not doing these things, why are we even here? These are our purposes. And here's the thing. If you have lost your vision or passion for church lately, if you've lost your vision or passion for the church, perhaps it's because you've lost sight of these purposes. You know, it's easy for any of us to get into a routine sometimes, you know, where we just go to church each week. We're not really thinking about it. But I'll just tell you, that gets old real quickly. And so we need to remember that Christ is our purpose, right? Christ is our purpose, and these are Christ's purposes for our church. We need to remember that both as believers and as a church. And when you focus in on God's purposes and you start living according to those purposes, that makes all the difference. It comes alive for you again. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your purposes for your church. Lord, we want to do what you've called us to do, not just what we feel like doing. We want to do your purposes. And so, Lord, as we've learned these first two, calling people to Christ, helping them grow in Christ, Lord, help us to grow in these areas as individual believers and as a church. And Lord, help us to fulfill the purposes you have for us here at Plantation Community. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.